And you heard from the Santa Rosa Police Department mere moments ago, Officer Matt Crosby and Santa Rosa Police Chief Ray Navarro, and about the other side now, as Santa Rosa City School trustees voted last week to pause the relationship with the SRPD while it figures out how well that program works and what might be changed about it. Omar Medina is one of the trustees from the Santa Rosa School Board. Omar, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on.
I know that you heard much of the conversation that we had in the last half an hour. Your thoughts overall on the school resource program, officer program?
Well, first off, I just want to make clear that I speak for myself. I don't speak for the rest of the trustees or my district as a whole.
Fair enough.
I'm one of seven, and I'm the one that has primarily been pushing this issue. The elimination of the SRO program. And my initial goal when I brought this up was to eliminate the program. In the process, you know, we discovered that there wasn't an existing MOU that had ended at the end of the 2018-2019 academic year. So this pause was kind of a compromise for me, but it makes sense to, you know, allow folks to get more information and to look at it. But
yeah, talk about why you want the program eliminated, Omar.
Yeah, and so for me, we're in the business of education, educating our students. Our students go to school to learn, and I come from it from the perspective of a person of color, having been a student of color within Santa Rosa City Schools, and you know, going back to like that perspective of being a young brown man, the frequent message that you get in society of being a criminal, you know, that's a constant message. And for me, it's kind of a microaggression to have police officers on campus that reinforces that message, right? You know, because generally, when you associate law enforcement, you associate it with that law.
Criminal activity.
And so what's that subconscious message that it's sending to you? And I know that, you know, Chief Navarro talked about it being part of a community policing model. And you know, it's their, you know, it's about their interest in having better relationships with folks and establishing those better relationships, which, you know, is fine in and of its own. But students go to school to learn. And one of the things that I've heard a lot in this discussion from people that, you know, these officers are well-trained, they get special training to deal with our students, and they're not, kind of the message that they're not like
regular cops,
the rest of the officers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so to me, the response to that as well, why can't all of them have that special training? Why can't all of them treat students with respect? And, you know, I'm not trying to say that these SROs are bad people or that a lot of what they do isn't good, because I know that they have very positive outcomes with the students that they actually engage in. But, you know, even Chief Navarro, one of the things that he said is that, you know, a lot of the things that they do is, for example, mental health related, right? And I feel that we can do better. They would rather not be focusing on that because that's not their expertise. You know, you talk about education, counseling, and law enforcement, right?
You know, do you think, Omar, that there is merit to the notion that if students of all colors get to know police officers better and vice versa, that that might translate into a better relationship off campus?
I think that the better relationship needs to start off campus, because if people were treated, you know, positively off campus, we wouldn't have this need to have a relationship to repair, right? So I think the issue then becomes the internal structure and the internal culture of policing as a whole, right? And I think that right now, SROs are funded by Measure L, right? And the city council has expressed that, you know, if we pause or end the SRO program, we're going to focus on getting mental health professionals to do kind of a second wave around the homelessness issue. which I applaud them for focusing on mental health professionals. But I think that they could reinvest on the high need of mental health within our schools. Instead of an SRO program that revolves around policing, why can't the city invest in providing the mental health services that our youth desperately need, especially after everything that's gone on these past few years?
So are you talking about like a group as opposed to a school resource officer having a person or a group of people better educated in mental health awareness, that would be a better idea for school campuses in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, I think instead of SROs, let's get MHOs, mental health officers, right, that are focused on that. Because the education that they're talking about is like training around gangs, right? That's something that could still happen without an SR program, where they could come and teach teachers about gangs. They could still come and help with risk assessments around active shooter trainings and those types of things to help the district. And in situations of an active shooter or something, I think that the response time of the police department would continue to be good. I trust in their abilities to do that. I recognize that the relationship, as Officer Crosby talked about, with knowing a particular student might not exist. But I think that, you know, we got to take emotion out of it and look at like the facts, right? Those types of situations are few and far between. And looking at everything, we could have proper response times. And they do offer a sense of security, right? But ultimately, we got to look at what happens every day and what happens every day in the lives of students. And I think that microaggression, that message that says that you're a criminal, is something that's very real. That, you know, oftentimes officers aren't going to get that perspective. During our board meeting, one of the SROs, Kyle Boyd, you know, says that nobody's ever told him that they're, you know, scared or terrified of.
Well, they're probably not going to tell him, right?
Police
officers. Yeah.
Exactly. They're not going to tell him. And I think it's also kind of tone deaf to see everything that's been going on lately and not have the understanding that, yes, there are people that fear the police, right? You know, you got to recognize that. So I think schools are for learning. When you're there policing them, you know, it adds that to that environment of it being kind of more of a like jail. I know that parents, if you ask parents, do you want a police officer on campus? You know, they care about the kid. They'd rather err on the side of safety, the majority of them, and they don't want one on there. But we got to look at the research and the studies that say, the majority of say the presence of an SRO isn't necessarily going to increase safety, and oftentimes it increases the outcomes of minor things getting escalated to a crime level.
Well, let me ask you this, Omar. Has the Santa Rosa School Board been given evidence of this program's efficacy? Has it been given, you know, sort of facts and figures about interactions / arrests, any other kind of discipline that has been exercised by this program?
So here's, you know, in responding to a lot of parents, you know, one of the things the police department was responding to was talking about 135 arrests. When you do the calculations, you know, it kind of amounts to three times the average for the state for arrest, right? So just when you look at it just as a number, maybe it sounds small, but when you look at it as an average and you compare it to the state average, it's about three times as high as the state average for arrests. The other thing is that, you know, for me, this is kind of a continuation of a prior movement, right? From 94 is when the movement to put SROs in San Jose City Schools started. And then that kind of aligned also with the implementation of zero tolerance. In 2012, you know, North Bay Organizing Project, along with others, started the push to remove zero tolerance. But between those years, Santa Rosa City Schools became the district with the fourth highest expulsion and suspension rate in all of California. And I think SROs were a key part of that, you know, increased enforcement And we've transitioned, you know, in 2014 it ended, towards restorative justice. I think we still need to do better towards restorative justice. But one of the key components of restorative justice is that, you know, in the circle, everybody's brought down to a vulnerable human level, right? But the way that our current implementation is, you have a law enforcement officer in there with a badge and with a gun that implies a different level of power, and everybody's supposed to be at the same level of power in those circles. So I think we need to, like, re-examine that, also re-examine what it means to talk about restorative justice while still having, like, a law enforcement officer there present. I think we send two different messages.
Omar, right? Hang on for a second, if you can. We need to take a quick break here, but I want to talk some more about this, including your ideas about alternatives to resource officers on campus. That's coming up.
KSRO.
Talking about school resource officers on campus in Santa Rosa and other areas too. On the KSRO live line with us is Santa Rosa City School Board Trustee Omar Medina. Omar, thanks for hanging with us.
Of course, thank you for having me again.
And you talked about having mental health experts, people trained specifically in that, on campus in place of the school resource officer. I wanted to ask you about what you thought about, you know, bettering the relationship between the police department and school-aged kids, if not on campus. How can that be accomplished, in your opinion, off campus?
Well, I think it's tied to everything, right? Community policing, like actually being out in the community, that's one thing. But we can't just tie it to their specific interactions with youth as a whole. It's the interactions with their parents, right? It's the interactions with the families of those parents, the things that they observe. And also those interactions relate to how people talk about the police, right? So that all feeds into how youth view police, right? So they, as a whole, the culture of policing needs to change, because, you know, I know for a fact that I'm profiled, right? I've had it happen, and I've seen it happen, and I've seen it happen to a lot of other people. So to not acknowledge and recognize that, you know, would be naive. And so I think having it start with fixing that problem would start to positively impact the experience of youth initially. Yeah, youth will get profiled and treated really differently, especially if you're, you know, a youth of color. But it also ties to the interactions that they have with the adults that are part of the lives of those youth.
Yeah, and this comes down to, I think, the entire conversation that we've been having for the past several weeks about trying to interact or dismantle this systematic racism in our community and in our country, is that this is an historically intertwined part of all of us, that coming to, you know, succinct answers about what to do on a practical basis to correct this, is those answers on a practical basis are sometimes tough to come by. But you believe that removing the resource officers from campus is a start?
One of the things that I feel that I'm responsible as a school board member is having positive educational outcomes for our youth. And I know that having an officer on campus adversely impacts some youth, and also creates that potential to have a more likely entry into the school to prison pipeline. And I think that removing SROs could only better help to increase our outcomes. I think that collectively as a community, we need to do better by having the money that we use for SROs be invested in mental health professionals in our schools, because that will only better the educational outcomes that we get as we help our students. And collectively as a community, we need to address the issue of law enforcement. And I think one of the most critical things that could be done is looking at accountability. Right. We need to develop some sort of accountability, because You know, SRPD is one of those that doesn't have any civilian oversight outside from the elected officials, but I think you need something separate from that, because that then helps create a balance in that power and something for them to be held accountable to.
Are you looking for something akin to IOLERO for the Sheriff's Department with regard to SRPD?
Well, IOLERO could use some more teeth, and then I think there's work on that being done. But yeah, something akin to that. You know, I think in around 2000, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, you know, the California committee, they held a whole thing on policing here in Sonoma County, and that was one of the recommendations back then. You know, it's been, what, 20 years, and still nothing has been implemented. So I think, yeah, I think the idea has been there. It's been recommended by, you know, through the Department of Justice and such, but it hasn't happened, and I think that power imbalance exists, and it allows for, you know, some people to abuse their power, and sadly it reflects on the entire department. You know, I know there's definitely some good officers that are part of SRPD, so, you know, I've had positive interactions with some, but there are those that I haven't had as positive interactions with, and I think we need to weed the bad ones out and create some change so we could have, you know, a better community, you know, that everybody is treated equally in and we all benefit from.
It sounds just about perfect, if only we can get there from here. Omar, do you think you can, for educational purposes for all of us, describe what it might feel like for a high school-aged person of color to see a cop on campus?
Well, you know, I can speak from my experience.
Yes.
The first thing that comes to mind is not there to protect and serve. It's, I got to be careful. How am I going to be harassed? Why are they here? Those are the types of things that come to mind, especially when you're a person of color. I can only speak from that perspective because I don't know the counter to that. I haven't had that lived experience, but, you know, definitely around law enforcement, I don't feel like they're there to protect and serve me. It's more like the opposite.
So it's an experience. I mean, we all sort of, you know, I think all of us humans, when we see the red lights behind us or we pass a cop car when we're, you know, going a few miles too fast over the speed limit, we all are sort of struck with that panic. This is more This is more than that, you're saying.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'll take an example. You know, my brother and a couple of his friends, you know, one black individual and three of us Mexicans were, you know, driving in Santa Rosa one time, and we got pulled over three times in one day.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time, we were told it was because our turn signal was on too long, right? And none of the three times were we cited. You know, the very first time, we were all taken out of the car. We were all frisked. We were all, you know, they all started looking at our backgrounds and everything. But how can it happen that it happened three times in one night? Like, what was it about us that caused that to happen, mm-hmm. right? And so you know, I think experiences like that feed into, you know, that experience that, you know, we're treated differently and that there's something different about us and that we're looked at as criminals, you know? And I think that's the mentality that I don't want our students to constantly feel. I want our schools to be free and safe from that experience where they're looked at as criminals or they have that sentiment, right? And I know it's not the experience for all students, but it is for some, and I want them to be free and safe of that at school so they could focus on what they're there to do, and that's learning.
Well, let me ask you one more question before we go, Omar. Sorry to interrupt. We got about a minute left. Let me ask you this. You are a well-known community member. You've been involved in many different aspects of leadership in this community. When you look at what has transpired in thought, in deed, in action since the death of George Floyd, do you feel optimistic about it? Are we collectively making a dent in this thing we call racism? Is it a start? What do you think?
I think, you know, I'm optimistic in the fact of how big the movement has been, how big the conversation has become. I do worry in terms of the long term of actually creating change that it'll fizzle out. I hope that it doesn't. But I do see people starting to have difficult conversations, and I think difficult conversations are needed as the first step for creating change, right? And so I'm hopeful, but only time will tell. And I think that this conversation around SROs, I know for a fact that it has caused some parents to have conversations with their children about how they feel about an officer on campus. And some have been surprised to hear what their children have told them.
And well, so surprises think, are good for all of us. Very good, Omar. And I know that the school board will be making a decision on the school resource officer program at the end of August. Look forward to talking to you in between now and then about the process and the progress so far. So thank you very kindly for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That is Santa Rosa City School Board member Omar Medina talking about the flip side of the school resource officers on campus. And again, a decision on that as far as Santa Rosa City schools go will be made on the 24th of August. And there will be several meetings in between now and then between teachers, students, parents, administrators, police officers, and community members, too, to talk about that program.